Coming up here at the end of the week is the NMU Jazz Festival. I believe it's somewhere around the 15th or 18th annual festival. We'll get that in a moment. And special guest at the festival is trumpeter Alan Vizzuti, who is in town to work with the students in the NMU Jazz Band and Dr. Mark Flaherty. But he's also double-teaming it and working with the Marquette Symphony Orchestra, who are presenting a concert Saturday night at Kauffman Auditorium. In the studio with us this afternoon on our weekday program, Dr. Mark Flaherty and our special guest, Alan Vizzuti.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be here.
Mark, if I could first start with you just about the Jazz Festival. This has been going on for so many wonderful years now and so many great talents coming to help out the students. Tell us a little bit about the preparation and what to expect.
Sure. Well, you know, this is actually the 21st year of the Jazz
I
Festival. At least sort of the modern rendition of it. You know, I think the first one was back in 1998 when Clark Terry came. My predecessor brought Clark Terry here. But, you know, it's a yearly event. We do bring in wonderful guest artists every year for this, and this year Alan Vizzuti. We also bring in a whole bunch of high school and middle school students, you know, ensembles from the region. This year we have almost 20 big bands, combos coming in. In fact, we had middle schools were on campus yesterday, most of them, and tomorrow we've got a whole bunch of high schools, we've got clinics. Should be a great time. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
So if you're on the NMU campus and you see a lot of school buses,
that's what they're doing. And please do stop by Reynolds Recital Hall pretty much 8 to 5 tomorrow. You're bound to see something. And also in the Wildcat Den, we'll have some activity there
in terms of
jam session, and there'll be a blues competition and some clinics and whatnot.
The snow should be done by then. Stop on by.
We're hoping so, and we're crossing our fingers that all the folks traveling here will be able to get here. With a little difficulty.
So introduce us to this year's special guest. What drew you to Alan Vizzuti?
What drew me to Alan Vizzuti? Well, a couple of things. I mean, well, first of all, I'm a trumpet player, so I've known Alan Vizzuti's name for a long time, and I had the pleasure actually a long time ago of being in a band that he was a guest artist with. So it was the first time I had run across him, but in the intervening years, I've heard him many times, and he's just a tremendous trumpet player, but just also a tremendous all-around musician. And he does this kind of thing all the time. I knew the students would really enjoy working with him. And when we were doing some scheduling last year, we realized Marquette Symphony and the Jazz Festival were likely going to end up on the same weekend. We had some concerns with how that would work, and my suggestion was, well, let's capitalize on that. And, hey, I've got somebody who could really do both of these kind of things. And that's, I think, the thing that's particularly unique about Alan is that he is equally at home, really, in both these areas. And as I'm sure he'll maybe tell you about his background, I mean, he worked in studios for a long time, so he really is pretty comfortable with virtually any style of music. And so I've heard him play the Brandenburg Concerto, and I've heard him play with big bands, and it's pretty exciting to hear him play. So.
All right. Well, welcome to Marquette, Alan.
Thank you. I have to leave now and go practice. Oh, my gosh.
You have something to live up to now.
Yeah, what a nice intro. Thanks, Mark.
That was the impression that I got both from reading a little bit about you, and earlier today I spoke with Octavio Masarokas, the conductor of the Marquette Symphony, about this weekend's concert. Mm-hmm. And he even mentioned that when he was a young trumpet student in Spain, he played for you.
In
one
a master
of your
class,
pieces. Yeah. And he said that was rather intimidating to play the actual composer's piece for the composer. But in reading about your work and what you've explored, it seems that there are no boundaries. You go where the spirit flows.
It's true. However, I would say that it kind of took me over rather than by design.
Okay.
Having a love and interest in a lot of musics that I ran across, having gone from Montana through high school, where I grew up, to the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, then being immersed in a whole new level of activity, meaning the student level and such was so high, and the variety of musical opportunities in Rochester, New York at the time and at the school were quite numerous and vast that I was able to jump in with both feet. And as long as I could pull it off, then I was able to participate in professional groups and school groups together. So I actually played in the Rochester Philharmonic while I was in school, the Eastman Brass Quintet, which was a professional group while I was in school, and some jazz things too. All that just really means is as I worked pretty hard and did my best to keep up and learn, these things have grown together like a flowering plant as opposed to a one one stream of activity. Mm-hmm. And then as I developed as a soloist and became a little bit known by just putting out as much material and product and communication and energy and beauty as possible, a career course that was more specific was never really an obvious choice for me, and I didn't push it that way.
Okay.
For instance, being a commercial player versus an orchestra player. I love to play an orchestra, but I kind of didn't want to sit in the back, to be honest. And I truly admire those people for their near note perfection and their skills with styles and knowledge of literature. And I have had enough experience in that specific example to have really enjoyed all of that. It's just a fabulous way to go through life and work in quotations, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really difficult and all that, but it's a fabulous way to go. Anyway, it was very mixed for me. So as my solo career and then also slash composition, which I've always enjoyed dabbling in and become pretty serious part of my life, if not income, it's a partial stream, has become important to me too. So all those things kind of coalesce into a prism of activity.
And when you said that about the trumpeters in the back and that near note perfection, one of the things over time that I've noticed is when classical music performers try to play jazz, there's maybe a little too much perfection. And when jazz players try to play classical, there's maybe a little bit of roughness around the edges. How do you work that, you know, in working in both styles?
Well, it's a compromise for sure. But beyond a doubt, I try to immerse myself in the style and release, for instance, on the classical, playing jazz, release elements of the classical side without guilt or conscience. Because you can really, you know, the brain learns by repetition. So if you train as a classical musician in certain ways, over and over and over and over again, it's not easy to let that go. It feels wrong. Yeah. I've just learned to balance that. There could be discussion as to how successful I've been, as a matter of fact, comparing the way I play stylistically to some very historic or even modern amazing jazz musicians who have they have more extreme colors of style and things perhaps than I do. And part of that's equipment too, because you have to play a little bit of a game with the equipment to get the sound and tone that you want for the right musics. Yeah.
One thing that leads me to is, you know, jazz is so much improv, and classical is you got to stick to what's on the page, which is its own battle. But how does that play into your composition when you're composing? Especially, I'm thinking classical music. Mm-hmm. Where do you let the jazz side in at all? Or tell us a little bit about composing.
Well, I just like composing, for one thing. And so I do all,
that's awesome.
Again, similar to the playing, these different opportunities that have come up, which I grab and go for. And if they're successful, usually it leads to more. Mm-hmm. So I actually have several hats. One of them, my favorite probably is purely classical music. It can be a little neo-romantic or neo-impressionistic or neo... what word would you use for Spanish influence kind of colors and modes? flat nine. And the other side is the Vizzuti sound, which I can't explain in words, but there is one. I do have a style when I let myself compose what I really just want to. Mm-hmm. It's melodic. You could tell it's 20th or 21st century by listening. One could tell, but it's not old sounding. It's not neo-romantic. It has a certain musical language that is contemporary. I've had opportunity to write for big bands and studio orchestras and pops concerts and even crossover, where a piece will go from completely classical approach fading back in and forth into jazz. I have a little bit of a name there, so I've had some commissions in that area too. Mm-hmm. Still, my favorite is sort of the pure classical thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does that affect when you now come to a place like Northern to work with Dr. Flaherty and the kids in the jazz band? What do you bring to them and how do you challenge them?
Well, I just bring the music that I know I have in my library of quality that suits that ensemble as a soloist. And I usually send a variety because I am often in places, for instance, here at the school here, that I'm not familiar with the program really. And we don't do an intricate exchange of written music or recordings. We can check it out if we want to, but basically I send a variety of things with some choices. Mm-hmm. And I found that really in a high percentage, the leaders of the professors leading the jazz ensembles, for instance, at a university have pretty savvy about this stuff. They want to challenge the students. They don't want to play down to the audience. They don't want to alienate anybody by playing music that's too difficult. Mm-hmm. And so it just works. I mean, the mutual little exchange of emails and talks and charts works very well. One thing is, it's always possible to send music that's too difficult. The pen, we used to say in the studio when we'd get some music for a movie or something that was really overwritten and really difficult, I mean, for high-level Los Angeles players, we'd say the pen is mightier than the lip. You know, just referring to the writing versus the playing. There will never be a limit to how difficult something can be. A lot of it unnecessarily. Right. So we don't do that. We don't go that direction. Yeah.
Have you had a chance yet to rehearse with the band?
Yes, last night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Very well, actually. The Mark, yay. The group's really excited. The spirit's fabulous. I mean, it's something, the spirit of the group is usually only found in something like a university. Mm-hmm. Maybe a good community group, too, but basically universities, because you have this raw young talent and excitement about your being there and this event that they're going to play, where sometimes in a professional setting, they will absolutely just really play the music great. I mean, just kill the music to the way you'd love. But that spirit of freshness and excitement level is a different deal.
Yeah,
I find that with symphony orchestras too. Sometimes in rehearsal, I always remember the first rehearsal that they might not be as bubbly and as interested as you would like, especially mm-hmm. the top ones. You know, Rochester, okay. Dallas, L.A. levels that are. Right. These people are playing so much during the week. For them to be excited about some music that they don't even know what it's going to be in the beginning of a rehearsal is normal.
Yeah.
Then in the concert, oh my gosh, they just lift you up really? Like you're on a balloon, and it's wild. So you have to remember those things sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you seeing things the same way, Mark, or how are the students taking to the music? I would assume you've been rehearsing the music itself for a little while.
For the last few weeks. You know, we've had a number of opportunities to go through things. And, I think the band really has enjoyed the charts that Alan sent. Okay. And
who's been playing Alan's part during the rehearsals?
Well, I have in a number of cases, although not the real extreme things. There's a couple of things that I just said, you know, I'm going to save this for him to be here because I'm not going to be able to do this justice. But a lot of that.
Come on. You just do your version.
This is true. This is true. No, and in most cases, I did. I mean, a lot of the standard tunes and whatnot. And actually, I handed the solo parts out to the trumpet section so that, you know, I tried to give them an opportunity to play the ballad and
it's an educational
and things like that.
Right.
So,
idea. And then they can see when I come in and do it, what I've done with the part that's not on the page,
But one of the pieces he sent is it's called Fire Dance, which is sort of a signature piece of his that I just looked at and I thought, we need him. We need him here to really do this. Yeah. Listen to the recording.
It's really a mixed bag thing. I mean, it's a Latin jazz piece, but there's technical things in it that are of classical nature. Mm-hmm. It goes back to my Woody Herman days when I was playing first with Woody Herman, late 70s out of university, and I was playing first trumpet, and we had a great jazz soloist on the road with us. And I really wanted an opportunity, kind of like I didn't want to sit in the back of the orchestra all the time, to go out front, and so I was scheming what I could come up with. And I'll keep this brief, but in Woody Herman's rehearsal technique in his days, he would listen to a chart and rehearsal. We very seldom rehearse, actually. But when he would arrange a rehearsal for some new music, he'd listen once through. And if he didn't like it, it was out. If he did like it, was in. Once. That's it.
Whoa.
And the guys were sight reading. Uh-huh. So we played this thing, it was really showy. And so we played it. I played it 400 times, I think. And not that day.
Right.
That would have been a little different. No. But he liked me and he liked the piece, but he also loved the audience reaction. So, yeah.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
One time we were playing in a club in New York and all these trumpet players kept coming in late because they were coming off gigs. Mm-hmm. John Faddis and Lou Soloff and Marvin Stamm and Al Rubin. And these might be names that your listeners don't know, but they were the top call studio guys in New York. Plus, Lou Soloff played with Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and I can name other John Faddis with Thad Jones Band. And
John Faddis, I think, did our jazz festival.
Yeah, he's fabulous.
In the early days.
Yeah. Well, they came marching in and we had already done Fire Dance and Woody called it again. Yeah,
no
said thanks a lot because it was a little rough on me.
Oh, my. Oh, so I was wondering, how are the students taking to the music? Are they lit up by Allen's music?
Oh, absolutely.
Really going for
the challenge? Yeah, no, great arrangements, yeah.
Well, and there's student really, solos in some of the pieces, too. Mm-hmm. Blues and whatnot. Yeah.
That's what we look for. That's one of the things that over the years NMU's jazz band has developed more and more, is that if this is what you guys want to do, you will be doing it all the way, including those
that's
solos.
Fabulous. It's the only way to learn that music is to actually listen and do it. It's not, we can't make it academic at a level that's correct. You know, we can make you familiar with it academically, but you have to play it.
You gotta go do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mark, is there a high school band also playing with?
There is. You know, we are in the Friday. Well, actually, there's. We have two concerts happening in the next couple of days. One is tonight, and that concert is going to feature myself and some clinicians at the festival: Dave Zigner, Harry South, Patrick Booth, and Zach Ott.
Nice.
And we're doing a sort of tribute to Kind of Blue, the Miles Davis album from 1959. This is the 60th anniversary of that, so we'll be playing that. And the Iron Mountain High School Jazz Band is going to be opening for that. So that's kind of something we've done over the last few years, is sort of invited a high school band to open that concert. And then the Friday night concert, we're going to select a band that plays during the day, and they will be opening the Friday night concert. Nice. So we haven't done that in a while, and we thought we'd do that this time. We're also going to have two students come up during a blues tune too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
high school
students. We're doing a blues competition as part of our jam session. We're gonna see how that goes.
Nice.
And we should have two high school kids coming up in the midst of the concert then to play on that tune too.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Mark Flaherty here from the NMU Music Department, and Alan Vizzuti, the special guest not only at the NMU Jazz Festival, but also the Marquette Symphony Orchestra concert Saturday night. Alan, you did bring some music with you. Why don't we play a track, and then we'll talk a little bit about the symphony concert on Saturday.
Wonderful.
All right. This is music of Alan Vizzuti. That's a trumpeter Alan Vizzuti and a tune called Glide off his album Ritzville. It came out a few years ago with some pretty special players, including Stanley Clark and Chick Corea. So you've been rubbing elbows with the right people.
Well, I toured with Chick.
All right.
He's a genius, but I need a half hour on that.
No, but we got to take a minute. We're almost out of time here to talk about your second gig this weekend with the Marquette Symphony Orchestra. I know the orchestra is playing the Shostakovich, but they're playing one of your pieces.
Yes, it's
can
quite
you tell
new.
Us about
mm-hmm.
that? Yeah,
it was a commission, and I wrote it with myself in mind too. it's a fast, slow, fast concerto with a lot of color and melody. It's based on three world winds as opposed to WHIRLED.
Right.
And
winds of the world.
Winds of the world and world and, you know, whipped winds, whatever. it's very colorful and a lot of fun. I think that I've been doing it with bands and orchestras recently, and the person I commissioned it for at Virginia Commonwealth University is named Rex Richardson, a good friend and also an international soloist. So We've actually done concerts together, even. We played together in Slovenia with the Slovenian National Orchestra or something like that. Yeah. Or was it in Maribor, Croatia? Anyway, he's wonderful. So, that's the piece we're doing. And it's fairly demanding for the orchestra.
Okay.
There's lots for everybody to do. And I think it'll be the input so far is it's a lot of fun for the audience.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah. And the second piece you're playing is called Carnival of Venice. I didn't know what that was, and then you whistled a little bit, and I'm like, oh, I think I've heard that.
Yeah, well, that theme I had, it has three corners, is a traditional Italian melody, actually.
Yeah.
And this is a theme in variations that you have probably heard before and has been traditional over the years for trumpet players to and cornet players going back to the 40s to have a version they play of that theme with variations. The Bluebells of Scotland for euphonium and trombone is another example. They do that piece a lot. Yeah, so we're doing a version that's a lot of fun. And
that's your arrangement of this piece for orchestra?
It is actually the cornet player who used to play at Delaware Stagers did the arrangement. I tweaked it to change it a little bit, but basically it's his version. There are versions on YouTube you can find of that for sure, of me playing and others. But you know what I'd like to say?
Yeah, please.
I'd like to say I love public radio.
Ooh,
and that I listen to KUOW 94.9 in Seattle, part of the University of Washington, service of the University of Washington.
Yeah.
And remember, got it in my car radio. If you don't know what a radio is, of course they know what a radio is. You talk to the little kids, what's a radio? My car drives itself and plays music. Exactly. I don't know what's going on.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, yeah.
Nice pun, by the way, seriously.
Yeah, hello. Thank you. Alan Vizzuti is our guest this afternoon. He's the guest of the NMU Jazz Festival with Dr. Mark Flaherty and all the students in the jazz band. They're busy rehearsing, and they'll be playing a big concert tomorrow night at 7:30.
That's correct.
At Kauffman Auditorium here in Marquette. The tickets are still available, I believe.
Tickets are indeed.
Yeah, if you can get them at, what's it, the new address is NMU?
Tickets.nmu.edu.
Okay. Yeah, get them online. You'll find them, or probably at the door. And then why not come back Saturday night also at Kauffman to see the Marquette Symphony Orchestra with Alan Vizzuti?
I think it'll be a very enjoyable concert. It's been a distinct pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, fellas.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Hope you have a blast with the concert.
Drive safely, everyone.
Yes, please do. This is Weekday on Public Radio 90 WNMU.